can do this. It's okay to hate it right now. You can hate it. Just trust the process and make words happen. You can fix it later. Ugh. No. That's rubbish.
Hey. Is that coffee for me? Thank you. Oh, God, that's good. Yeah. I needed that. You know, for that, I think I'm gonna carve your likeness into the 10 tallest mountains in the world. No. Seriously, name it and it's yours. My next royalty check, my firstborn godchild, fountain made of gold that sprays your favorite champagne. Well, sure, the second I'm out of deadline hell, I would be delighted to treat you to a cheeky Netflix and chill. Let me know when you have takeaway options and a movie picked out, and we'll get right on that. Yeah. It's been a while since we had some fun like that, hmm? Perhaps this time we can break out the silk scarves again. I know you enjoyed that last time. Did you get off work early or something? What? No. How the hell is it already 3 o'clock? Have I seriously been staring at this piece of shit manuscript for 3 hours? No, trust me, it is shit. I've rewritten this scene 4 times, and the only thing I'm certain of in this moment is that I should give up and move into a cardboard box under a bridge. I am not being melodramatic. It's unequivocally true. Well, you would say that. You like everything I write. Now don't think I'm not grateful for all the reading and feedback you do for me, by the way. All the rest of them see the finished product. You get to watch the story change from a basic plot skeleton to a tribute written to the unlikely bonding of kindred hearts. I wonder what happened. I used to adore analyzing love in my fiction. Today, all I can seem to do is wallow in hopeless stagnation. That was humanity's greatest puzzle. The curiosity that morphs into blinding enchantment. The trembling words held fearfully in check. And then the exquisite, devastating tenderness after that first unforgettable confession. Oh. I loved examining what made people fit so well together, or so horribly. Crikey, sometimes the ones where they're terrible for each other are the most fascinating of all. Yeah, but I don't know, lately it all seems so stale, you know? People have been making art about love since time immemorial. What can I write that hasn't already been said 1,000 times? Some nights I wonder if I can still do it at all. I always manage to in the end, but the wondering. It's agony. You know, I never thought about it before, but there's something kind of intimate about you reading my unfinished stories, isn't there? You see my draft's guts. I fear there's nothing that will save this mass of drivel, though, no matter how sharp an editor you are. Why do people enjoy reading this? I'm genuinely baffled. Do they think this is how romance works, truly? That all I need to do is take your cute face in my hands, like this, and rest my forehead against yours and say, "You see me as no one else does. Others see facets of me, performances of me, what they want to see or what I want them to see, but you see all of me, good or ill. I didn't even have to ask. You just did. See, it's crap. I feel like I've written stuff like that a million times. It's just absurd. Are you all right? Why is your face all red?" "Yes, it is. What is it? Come on, tell me." Fine. "I'm really glad you're home now, you know. Although, if you had been a serial murderer here to put me out of my misery, I wouldn't have objected. Well, not very much, anyway. Maybe I am feeling run down. I'm sure it doesn't help that we've been getting bombarded by Valentine's Day adverts since late December. Because what's more romantic than giving someone chocolates you bought 3 months ago? It's all so obligatory. Better hurry and prove your love through conspicuous consumerism. Spare me yet another transactional holiday full of frantic gift-giving. Didn't we just get through with Christmas? Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-gift-giving. There's nothing wrong with lavishing your lover with chocolates or their favourite flowers or whatever, but aren't the little unexpected, everyday, unasked-for gestures so much sweeter? Personally, I'd much rather someone bring me a coffee when they know I'm going to be tired. But that's not the worst bit. The worst bit is that my publisher also wants me to do an interview. They sent me some of the questions in advance. Look at these things. Look at them. What colour is love? What the fuck is that supposed to mean? What colour is love? And I know my readers are expecting me to give some beautiful, profound answer, and I'm just staring at these questions and fighting the urge to walk into the sea. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. Maybe I have spent too much time just staring at it. Let's go to the living room. I can't stand to look at this screen for a second longer anyway. I ate a few hours ago, and I have been staying hydrated, as I promised you I would. I'd rather not spare anything longer than a short break. I've got a lot to get on with. Yeah, I'm sure. I think it's better I push through and get this done. Normally, a walk with you would be just the thing I needed to recharge, but I wouldn't be able to stop thinking about this damn draft the whole time. I'd just be miserable, and shitty company besides. Yeah. Appreciate the offer, though. I'd definitely like to do that later, maybe when the rain stopped. This is nice. Cozy. If I hadn't just had a coffee, I might be in danger of falling asleep on you. Maybe I should bring the laptop in here. Okay. No laptop, I promise. Would you care to be my rubber duck? It's a term I've seen thrown around in the writing chat lately. I think it comes from computer programming. When a programmer gets stuck on a bit of code, sometimes they'll talk to a little toy duck they keep at their desk, like walk them through the lines. Often they're able to figure out the solution after explaining what was wrong to the duck. We made a separate channel for rubber ducking when one of us is having trouble with a scene, but it's always so full of people and I don't really feel like talking to any of them. Much rather talk to you. No. This doesn't count as work, I swear. Getting my thoughts sorted, it would help me relax. And you know I always value your input, even if it's just that sentence is fine, you're being silly, or you used cock 3 times in that paragraph, Sebastian, calm down. Only if you don't mind, though. I'm more than aware of how tiresome I get when I'm like this. Yeah. Well, cheers, I owe you one. Right, so, this interview. The colour question was bad enough, but the one that really gets under my skin is, what is your favourite type of romance? As if I could just pick one, you know? Yeah, I know what they're expecting me to list off, too. They want tropes. Enemies to lovers, making up with your ex, fake dating that turns into real dating. But they're all deeply compelling, of course. They are good when done right. They have the potential to create stories that you wish you could read for the first time all over again. They're tropes for a reason, but I couldn't pick a favourite of them. They're not things that I like. They're tools that I use. I prefer my romance fiction to be a bit blurrier, less tidy. Yeah, you know what truly delights me? In my heart of hearts. It's when 2 people grow to know one another so thoroughly that one could easily mistake them for being married, if they aren't already. Like, take last week. You remember I needed dinner, but I didn't know what I wanted to eat. And without missing a beat, you said, yellow potato curry. It's not normally my first or even second choice. I haven't made that for ages, but the moment you said it, I realised that was exactly what I wanted. And the best part was, it wasn't even remarkable that you just knew. That kind of thing happens all the time. You know how to make me laugh, too. That stupid fucking clown noise you do. Yeah. That one. I don't know. How do you do... I don't know how to make that noise. How do you do that? Probably is just because you're actually a clown in real life. Yeah. See, you knew exactly how hard to hit me with that pillow. That's another thing. Okay, all right. Enough. Come here. God, there's something so delightful about 2 enamored people bickering at each other. That easy trust between them that means their exchange will never turn cruel or resentful. And the entire time, they're so engrossed in their silly, harmless disagreement that they aren't even aware of the adorable spectacle they're making. And you just know that the sun exploding couldn't break that bond. What's another one? When 2 characters are thrown together by fate, one yearns for the other, but for whatever reason they can't confess it. Is there anything more achingly sad than that? And then we get to watch as the beloved one makes some innocent remark, all while being utterly clueless that they are completely tearing their companion's heart asunder. It's difficult to pull off, but I think when it's written well... Hey. You look like you're about to cry. What's up? Don't hide your face in the pillow. Come on now. It's okay, Oh. Fuck's sake. We're in a slow burn, aren't we? That's us. Yeah. Oh, that's... I've written hundreds of short stories about this very thing. All the signs were there. How did I not see it? Yeah, I mean, it makes complete sense. And now... How did I not No. I didn't realize loving you could be so simple. It's like breathing. Maybe that's why I didn't realize. It just felt like how life should be. Forgive me for leaving you in torment like that for so long. God, I'm such an idiot. The stars knew it when they sent me you. They made you brilliant, so I wouldn't fail to notice when a miracle walked by. Might have just taken me a while. God, I've got to write that down. You don't mind, do you, if I... Thank you. It won't take long, I promise.
Okay. Yes, yes! God damn, I'm good! Done.
Thank you for letting me air out my thoughts. It's exactly what I needed. You're truly a godsend, you know. Yeah. It's done. Well, done enough for now. I think I'm out of that rut. I hadn't been able to progress that scene for days. I'll come back to it later and finish it off. But I think now I could actually relax with you a little without that fucking book playing on my mind the whole time. Oh. I'm sorry you've been lonesome. And you've been bringing me snacks and cups of tea and coffee and not saying a word. You sweetheart. You're always welcome to sit in the chair in the corner of my office if you miss me. Yes, I'll be sure to let you know in the unlikely event that I absolutely need quiet and solitude for a few hours. But honestly, I never mind when you visit. I can't say this about just anyone. You aren't a distraction. You're the opposite. Oh, it's so nice having you in the room with me while I work. Makes my brain feel whole. Even when the deadline's close and I turn into this caffeine-addled creature flailing madly at a keyboard. Okay, yeah, that proves it. You are just absolutely enamored, aren't you? If you can see me looking like that and find me even remotely attractive. What? It excites you watching me write? Really? Well. I had no idea. I recall earlier you requested a little Netflix and chill. No, I'm not too tired. Sounds perfect, in fact.